12 Rules for Life by Jordan B. Peterson. This video is going to be a quick summary of each of the 12 rules and my personal opinion on each of the rules as well. Sort of figuring out how true is Jordan Peterson? How much wisdom is there to his statements? Rule one, stand up straight with your shoulders back. So this is the infamous lobster chapter where he talks about serotonin and different hormones in the body. And when you stand up and you fight, you increase your testosterone levels, your serotonin levels. You get pick of the litter in a way. The way this social hierarchy works, it's also with Pareto's principles. So 20% of the top men get 80% of the women. Like the 80% of the women are only going after 20% of the men in, you know. So the better and stronger man you become or woman, the more choice you're going to have, the more opportunities you're going to get. And that's the whole gist of rule one. It's basically like, don't be a fucking depressed little lobster that sits around moping about how horrible his life is. Stand up straight with your shoulders back. Figure out what's this challenge that I want to fight. What's the dragon that I want to fight? What journey do I want to go on? And stand up straight with your shoulders back. Pretty simple. Rule number two, treat yourself like someone you are responsible for helping. So he talks about the statistic, the data that states that if you go to the vet for your dog and your dog's dying, and the veterinarian says, okay, give your dog 2 pills a day and for the next 60 days. So you're more likely to stay consistent and stay to the regimen of giving your pet these 2 pills a day for 60 days than you are even for giving yourself the pills and the medication. So there's a psychological aspect where if we have any sort of guilt or shame or a low amount of self-worth, we don't feel worthy enough to prioritize ourselves. It's a very common thing. If we feel guilt and shame and heavy and sad and dark, we project out the light outside of us and we say, well, my friend that I really want to help or my pet that I really want to help, there's a high chance of us actually helping them. So he's bringing this to our awareness and he's saying, hey, instead of, you know, putting all your eggs in other people's baskets, instead of prioritizing other people, why don't we think about us ourselves for a change? That's only going to happen when we stop fantasizing about our lives and who we think we should be. Anytime you catch yourself saying, oh, I should be happier, oh, I should be more grateful, oh, I should go to the gym, oh, I should eat better, oh, I should study more. Anytime you say should, you're shitting on yourself. You're shitting on yourself. You're shitting on yourself. Okay. That's language that implies guilt and shame for yourself. So any shoulds are going to lower your self-worth and decrease the probability that you're going to actually prioritize yourself. So what do we do when we catch ourselves shooting on ourselves? It means that we're comparing our life to someone else. Okay, so he's got another rule, rule four. I don't want to skip ahead too much. But when you compare yourself to someone else's life and you think, well, they have this amazing life, I should be doing what they're doing, I should be happier like them. It's a comparison and we're disassociating ourselves from our own life, our own individuality. So when you catch yourself saying that, it's a sign that you're on the road of putting other people above you, comparing yourself. So be aware that of the shoulds and then reflect and be like, who am I comparing myself to? Why do I think it should be this way? Because your life, demonstrates who you are. Your actions, what you consistently do and what you consistently think about, are the greatest reflection of who you are. If you're doing things that are not aligned with what you actually want to do and what you actually are spontaneously inspired from within to do every single day, no one needs to remind you to do it or think about it or take action towards it. These inspiring things, whatever it is, it might be work, it might be your family, it might be social media, it might be video game, whatever you love. Well, not social media, but is there a specific, is there a fitness thing? Is it a pet thing? Is it a you know, content creation thing that you're watching on social media? It's not, it might not be social media that's of value to you. It might be what you're getting out of it. So don't shoot on yourself. Reflect and ask, okay, what does the real me want? What does the real me want? Because if your actions aren't aligned with the real me, you're going to purposely self-sabotage and put other people above you instead of prioritizing yourself. Hence the rule, treat yourself like someone you're responsible for helping. So I would change that rule and I'll be like, be aware of who you are, and instead of devaluing yourself and putting other people above you, value yourself and prioritize yourself so that you can help other people. It's a bit longer. Rule three, make friends with people who want the best for you. Show me your friends and I'll show you your future. You become the people that you spend the most amount of time with. Pretty self-explanatory there. Your environment, so, so important to the brain. We adapt to our environment. So I think it's very important to learn how to say no to others. Get really good at diplomatically saying, fuck off to other people, basically. Hey, sorry. Hey, thank you for offering. Let me check my schedule and I'll get back to you. Hey, thanks for asking me. I would love to do that. I'm just working on a few other high priority projects right now. Let me check my calendar and I'll get back to you. Hey, that's awesome. I would love to do that. I just need to finish reading my book today and post it on YouTube. And if I get that done, I'll let you know and then we can hang out. Right? Or you just say, fuck off. Rule number four. Here we go. Compare yourself to who you were yesterday, not who someone else is today. When we compare ourselves and we look at someone else, it's very easy to forget all of the things that they had to go through in order to achieve that level that they're at. Also, if I am focused on my mind and my body and my spirituality, and I look at a businessman in a suit who's got lots and lots of money, apparently, I perceive him, oh, wow, he has a suit. He works in the city. He must have a lot of money. He has a fancy job. Wow. We're focusing on different things. That lawyer has a higher value on making money, business, appearance, you know, all these things, investing, whereas I value more my mind and going to the gym and going to the beach and connecting and meditating and all these sort of things. So if I'm comparing my value of mind, body, and spirit to their value of business and finances, I'm fucked. Okay. So when we actually, there's nothing you can perceive in someone else that you don't have inside of you. Everything is a projection and a reflection. So if I'm looking at the businessman with lots of money, and I'm thinking they have something that I don't, okay, I have something that they don't as well, because I'm more empowered physically, mentally, and spiritually than they are. So we forget that sometimes. It's like, well, I have things that they don't have, and they have things that I don't have. Hey, here's newsflash. We all are a reflection of each other. We all have everything. We all have every trait. We all have every value. We all have every emotion. The difference is in the form and the expression of that value. So I express my value through creating content and reading books and putting stuff out there and going to the gym and walking on the beach and communicating with people. The lawyer expresses their value through going in court and know, kicking ass or whatever they do, right? And wearing, spending, having in their bank account, they got lots of value, right? So they have value in their bank account. I have value in my brain and in my body and in my soul. So some could say, well, I would prefer the money in my bank account. Well, yeah, once you acknowledge where your true genuine wealth is, you can start converting it. So this is what I'm doing now. I'm getting on YouTube. I'm getting with clients. I'm getting with, you know, Facebook. I'm doing all these things to generate actual wealth and converting my value, because now I see my value. There's nothing I can see in someone else that I don't have inside of me, and the same with you as well. So when you find yourself comparing, don't just like say to yourself, oh, don't compare myself, because it's inevitable. You're going to compare yourself. So when you do, what do I perceive they have that I don't? Okay, where do I have it in my form? Where do I have that trait, that action that I perceive in them? Where do I have it in my own life, in my own values, in my own form, my own expression? Ask yourself that question when you find yourself comparing yourself to others, because it's a fucking nightmare. And it's great as well. Rule number 5, do not let your children do anything that makes you dislike them. This is creating boundaries and intentions. And this is the same where if you're with a partner, if you have a partner and you at the gym, like in the sauna, you're in the sauna at the gym and you're talking shit about your wife or your partner. And you're like, they're this, they're that, they're fat, they're lazy, they have this stupid thing that they do. Are you serious? You're actually denigrating the person that you spend the most amount of time with. Like, do you register that? And of course, we all do this. But the problem is when we are completely unaware that everything our partner is doing is what we do, and we are actually enabling that situation. Anything your partner does, I would say that it's a reflection of you, and you have somehow created that because you're the person that spends the most amount of time with them. So with your kids, like imagine if Prince, my doggo, you can't really see him, but he's the little one. He's only a puppy. But imagine if I just let him shit in the house and destroy things, and I didn't have any sort of boundaries around that stuff. Is it his fault, or is it my doing? Is it my creation because I'm allowing him to do it? And if I'm getting annoyed at it, like if I get annoyed at him being reactive to other dogs and like lunging towards other dogs, the first time he did it, he was communicating to me and I wasn't aware. I'm like, oh, okay. The second time he did it, it's never the dog's fault. It's my fault now. It's because I'm training him. I'm setting him up for failure. So if you don't have clear boundaries and you let your kids or your partner or your work colleagues or your friends do things that make you dislike them and you allow it to keep happening, you're training them to do things that make you dislike them. That you're training them to be assholes. Rule number 6, set your house in the perfect order before you criticize the world. This is a principle of reflect on yourself, work on yourself first before you step out into the world and you try and fix everyone else's problems and fix these big problems in the world, because you're not going to have the amount of value to help others unless you can help yourself. We can only help others to the degree that we have helped ourselves. If we are organized in chaos, we're going to project out desperation and neediness and volatilities and emotions that's not going to make things any better for others. So it's really, it's like I'm having this awareness now in my business. It's like there's no way that I can help other people that I haven't helped myself with. So why am I even having a thought of helping someone that isn't connected to me and isn't someone whose problems I can just bang, I know how to solve very easily? So it's start. It's like, don't rush. Anytime you're looking for a shortcut, there's a tiger waiting to jump out and eat you. Rule 7, pursue what is meaningful, not what is expedient. This is a basic, you know, the marshmallow experiment where they sit a bunch of kids in front of marshmallows and they say, hey, if you wait, you'll get more marshmallows. The people that waited and got more marshmallows, they were seen to be more successful later on in life, which is an anecdote, some empirical evidence to show that maybe there's something going on in our brain. If we can train our brain to delay the gratification, to not get instant dopamine right away every time, then we can somehow calm our mind down to the crazy distractions that are going on and, you know, throwing crazy shit up at us every day. You know, what if we calm that down, we get better at it? So pursue what is meaningful, because what is meaningful is going to be sustainable. It's going to be fulfilling. It's going to help you grow. It's going to help you see more clearly. It's going to help you live more from your executive center. So you'll need less governance from others. You'll be more independent. You'll be more focused. Like, there's so many benefits of living your values and pursuing what is meaningful to you and not what is expedient. Like, hey, do I eat ice cream and watch porn, or do I read a book and make a video? One is going to be bang, instant dopamine, make me feel really good. The other is going to be a challenge. It's going to challenge my brain, make me think a bit different. It's going to kind of exhaust me. It's going to help me sleep at night. And then I'm actually producing rather than just consuming. One is consuming, one is producing and challenging myself. When you embrace the challenge and the pain and the suffering, when you embrace it, that's where you find meaning. That's what we learned in Viktor Frankl. When you find the meaning in the suffering, that's where the fulfillment is. That's where the purpose is. If I just eat ice cream and wank, then it's like, there's no challenge. There is absolutely zero. It's like, oh, maybe I'll go to the store and I'll fucking buy the $10. Maybe I'll have to find the right video to watch. You know, that's a very, very small challenge. So it's like, what's the biggest challenge that inspires me the most? It's going to bring me the most amount of meaning and the most amount of fulfillment. That's what I'm going to do, because that's long lasting. There's no, what's the point of living my life if I'm not going to wake up every day and love every second of it? If you're living through instant gratification, it's hazy, it's unpredictable, it's uncertain, there's volatilities, there's emotions. You don't actually know. There's like, okay, I'm gonna wake up every day and watch fucking TikTok all day. It's like, what kind of, like, you're just gonna go backwards really, because you're consuming and you're not producing. When you produce, you can consume more, not the other way around. It's like going up to your boss and saying, hey, can I have a raise? And the boss says, when you work harder, I'll give you a raise. And you just sit there and you expect a raise before even putting in the work. Put in the work, find what challenges inspire you, embrace the pain, embrace the suffering, and you'll find the meaning and you'll have longer lasting, sustainable fulfillment. Oh, I like that one. Can you tell? Rule number 8, tell the truth, or at least don't lie. Here, I strongly disagree, because I have a different conception of what truth is. Truth is fleeting. Truth is only revealed in the millisecond of love, gratitude, inspiration, presence, and wisdom. If you're not in those 6 transcendental feelings, you are not seeing the truth. Real truth has no words. So my ex-partner would say, can you just tell me the truth? What's going on? But if I were to tell the truth, it would mean explain every single little detail. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't have the time to every single time I get home, tell my girlfriend exactly everything that happened start to finish, because one, they're not going to be able to understand where I'm coming from. I'm not actually communicating. I'm just fucking blurting out bullshit that's not truth, because they are filtering it through their perceptions. So how can I tell the truth if they are filtering it through their perceptions? They don't see the truth. So how the fuck are they going to hear the truth? Okay, so yeah, that's my little rant on truth, because what the fuck is truth? Truth is love. And if you're not in a state of love, then there's no truth. It's distortion. It's a bias. It's human bias. It's our unfiltered fucking bullshit perceptions that are filtering through our own values, our own past, and our old traumas and triggers and all this kind of thing. So I think what he means by tell the truth is don't say things you know to be inherently wrong. And I think Jordan Peterson has said that before. So it's instead of tell the truth, it's like, hey, just if you know you're being a fucking asshole and you're trying to extort the other person or blackmail the person or blindside them or manipulate them in a malevolent way, maybe think twice about it. Because what tends to happen, if you do something that you feel is inherently bad and malicious, then it's going to come back to bite you in the ass. So he has a great example that he likes to use. It's like if you tell a lie and you know it's a lie and you know it's wrong, you feel the guilt and the shame and you know it's wrong in your heart, and only you can know. So don't let other people tell you what's right and what's wrong. Only you can feel what. There's no such thing as fucking right and wrong, because it's all, is it right to kill a murderer? If is it right to kill someone? Yes or no? No. Okay, well, this person's about to go inside a family home and murder the mum, the dad, and the three kids. Is it okay? Is it right to kill that guy before they go in and kill the five people? Yes. Okay, so is it good to kill a bad person, or is it bad to kill a good person? What's going on? What's the bullshit? Okay, so don't let anyone tell you what's right and wrong. It's what you feel intrinsically inside of you. This is the karmic wheel. The Indian religion, where you feel things come around. What goes around comes back around, you know, whatever Justin Timberlake says. So if you feel it's wrong within you, it's like pulling a rubber band back and it's going to smack you. So it's the universe is designed to bring you back into balance and homeostasis, because that is where the most amount of growth is. That's where the most amount of love is. The universe is constantly expanding and growing. And in order to expand and to grow, we need to have a balance of challenge and support, good and bad, positive and negative, day and night, hot and cold, warm and dry, all these things that are going to create the balance. If you are feeling you've done wrong and done bad, you're very fiery, you're very dense, you're very hot, you're very mean, you're very dry. So it's out of balance. So the universe is going to throw some shit in there and do something in order to make you feel better. So you'll get a parking fine randomly, or you'll lose $100, or something will happen where you're like, oh, okay, I kind of feel a bit better. Or like, here's a perfect example. If you go and steal some money from someone, don't be surprised when a week, a year, 10 years later, someone steals from you. That's the universe balancing itself out. So that's what's going to happen if you know you're telling a lie. It's going to come back to bite you. It's basically, he's talking about karma, right? Rule number 9, assume that the person you are listening to might know something you don't. This is a great rule. If you want to, it's incredible the things that people will tell you if you just listen. Now, this is the principle of being present. Don't wait for your turn to talk. Actually focus, look them in the eye. We have these things in our eyes called microsaccades. And as we evolved, our eyes were trained to find movement. So the lower mind and lower stages in our evolution, our minds are constantly looking for movement. So it's a display of higher consciousness and presence when you can maintain eye contact with someone, because the microsaccades stay still and focused, and you can look them directly in the eye. And some people, it's confront, if emotional people, schizophrenic people, they can't look at you in the eye because it freaks them out. But if you can really be present and focus and be with someone and listen to them and listen to understand, not just to wait for your turn to talk, like I said before, but listen and be like, what are they really trying to tell me? It's incredible the amount of things that you'll hear, because some of the other principles we've discussed so far, if everyone is a reflection of you, then when someone speaks, it's basically you talking to yourself, which is a bit fucking trippy, isn't it? Because they're going to tell you, they're going to give you an insight into your own being that you haven't thought of, and they're filtering it through their own perception. So it's, you're getting their perception, a different angle of something that's going on in your life that's going to help you to grow and learn, even if you learn that you don't like that person. No, I'm just kidding. Usually the people we don't like are especially the people that are reflections of us. Rule number 10, be precise in your speech. This is a projection of Jordan Peterson's values, which isn't bad. I would just say that he obviously is an academic intellectual and loves researching and speaking. So I would say that we are most precise in our speech when we're talking about something that we love. So when you focus on something that you love and you share what you love, you will intrinsically be inspired to be as precise as you can with your speech. But yes, I do agree, as I'm rambling, to be precise with your speech. Tony Robbins would say to himself, I don't know if he still does it, he's still something similar to this right now, but before he goes on stage, he says an affirmation to himself. He says, I now command my subconscious mind to give me all of the strength, the brevity, the persuasion, the humor, whatever it takes to get these people to change their lives for the better. So he says brevity, which means what's the minimum amount of words that I can say that's going to have the most amount of impact. Jocko Willink says this as well. Hey, just sit. If there's a group of guys, just listen, because the less that you speak, the more powerful your words. If you're constantly rambling and rambling and rambling and always talking and talking and talking, the value of your words decreases. Value is in scarcity. If you can speak less and have more powerful words, you'll be more powerful. Rule number 11, do not bother children when they're skateboarding. This is like a silly rule. Basically, let other people live their values and be them, and you know, life's not that serious. Just fucking have some fun. Rule number 12, pet a cat when you encounter one on the street. He kind of has a little joke here because he's talking about dogs. So I think this rule to me means, like, don't forget to smell the roses. Don't forget to be grateful for everything that we have right now in this moment, because that is where the beauty is. The beauty, there's no certainty in tomorrow. The only certainty is right now. And if you're present in this beautiful moment, there is an infinite amount of love right at your fingertips. That is my summary of 12 rules for life. Thank you for watching. Subscribe.